Running a business is hard work. Building your website shouldn't be. With Wix, you can express your ideas, give direction, then leave the heavy lifting to AI, from site creation to branded content and images. Have fun with the details. Customize what you want, the way you want, and manage your whole business from a centralized dashboard with expert AI tools. Build, scale, and enjoy the incredible results. You can do it all yourself on Wix.
Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. I'm your host, Jason Tardik, and welcome to the pre-market trading segment where I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guests, something you need to know happening in the market, and update from my personal life. Remember to subscribe, follow, go check us out on YouTube, and please give us 5 stars. We're putting a focus group together as we start to plan for the next year. We allow 50 people in. Just give us 5 stars and put your email address and we will reach out. That being said, today we have a guest from Selling the OC. Now, you remember Jason Oppenheim. He has been on the podcast. He owns the Oppenheim Group, which the original show being Selling Sunset out of LA, he opened and expanded an office into Newport Beach, which is Selling the OC. And we have Alex Hall on. Now, here are the things you got to know about Alex Hall, because in this episode, we'll talk about real estate. We'll talk about the supply and demand issues. We'll talk about the election, how that'll impact the entire housing market. But we also talk drama, because what do we do on Trading Secrets? Pop culture meets finance, and there's some drama, and you need to know a little background. Okay. So I've been on 2 influencer trips in which Alex was at. One, I didn't know her, and that was in Dubai. But you'll hear a little story about when I saw her and Tyler Staniland in Dubai. Tyler has also been on the podcast, but there was a lot of controversy, or at least questioning, around if there was an affair between Tyler and Alex while Tyler was with Brittany Snow. We step into that a little bit, and we step into that because at the Patron trip, the influencer trip I was just on, Alex was there and her and I were in the backyard and we had a candid conversation. I was like, hey, I know Tyler and I've spoken to Brittany and I'm just curious, like, is that true? And I was really shocked by what she said. And you'll hear about that in this episode. Alex is great. She's a mother of 2. You like her tenacity. She has a polarizing approach, especially on the show. But in person, what we saw from her, especially at the Patron event, she's amazing. And on this podcast, incredible and smart. And you're really going to enjoy this episode. She's going to bring a lot to the table today. Now, an update, something you should know about. Again, pop culture meeting finance here. Do you remember that documentary called Supersize Me? Well, Morgan Spurlock was the documentary filmmaker. He captured this whole psychological and physical breakdown of what it's like eating McDonald's literally every single day for every single meal, 30 days straight. This was an Oscar nominated feature in 2004. He just passed away from cancer at 53, but we are recognizing him and also giving a lot of respect for what he did, because he brought so much to the forefront as it relates to the impact that this type of food has not only on our bodies, but our mental health. Through his experiments, he actually talked about how he suffered from depression and even liver dysfunction. He was getting his blood test during this, and the doctor couldn't believe the impact this was having on his overall health. Now, we talk numbers on the show. Let's talk numbers. Domestic box office success from Supersize Me, over $11 million. International box office, over $10 million. Worldwide box office, from one documentary, $22.3 million. RIP Morgan, but thank you for leaving a legacy and a documentary that has taught all of us. Now, that being said, a little update for my life. I've been hanging in Nashville. I'm celebrating Memorial Day weekend here in Nashville. It's been 3 weeks in Nashville, and it's about to get a little crazy in June with traveling again. So I'm excited. I'll be making a stop in Buffalo. I got New York City on the horizon. I got Chicago on the horizon. I got Charlotte on the horizon, mom's birthday, and also dad's for Father's Day. Actually, my mom's birthday and Father's Day falls on the same exact day. We got Florida on the horizon. A lot of stops in June. It's going to be a big month personally, professionally, and financially. And make sure you stay tuned to the recap, because I would say this was a top 10 recap from David and I. But enough of me, enough of Supersize Me, French fries talk and all. Let's ring in the bell with the one and only Alex Hall. Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. Today, we are joined by the real estate agent, entrepreneur, content creator, and working mom of two, Alex Hall. Many of you know Alex from her role on Netflix's Selling the OC, where she shares her personal and professional life working for the Oppenheim Group in Orange County. On the show, Alex's personable yet sometimes controversial character makes her one of the more polarizing members of the show throughout its three seasons. Being a native of Orange County, Alex leveraged her market knowledge to lead a successful real estate career before joining the Oppenheim Group in 2021. When she is not selling million-dollar listings, Alex creates hilarious content with her social media following about her life as a working mom. And today we are going to discuss her life in the OC, the future of the real estate market, and where she sees selling the OC going in seasons to come. Alex, thank you so much for being on Trading Secrets.
What an intro. I'll come on any day of the week.
Let's go. You're here. We're excited to have you. You got a wild resume from interior design to selling real estate to where you are today in 2024, three seasons later. And honestly, I go in chronological order, but let's skip to the chase. We were just in Patron together at the Stagecoach event. I mean, that was an absolute blast. What'd you make of that event?
Honestly, life changing. I am a Patron ride or die, anything from here on out. They are such an amazing brand, but the real reason that I loved that experience wasn't because of how amazing they treated all of us, but it was because of the connections that they formed, like between all of us in the house. We had a really dynamic group in that home and at that event. And just to connect with, I'm all about human connection and the experiences. And that was, I mean, quite frankly, I don't know how I'm going to top that. I don't know how I'm going to top that trip.
It was incredible. It's a good point. Like, you think about all the personalities that were in this, like, I don't want to say small house, but like in a tight living quarters, right? Yeah. Like, you know, you got guys from The Bachelor, Joey and Kelsey were there. You and Polly are there. I mean, there was a huge list of people that were there, and a million things could have gone wrong and everything went perfect. And I think it is a testament to them because they just picked personalities that work. So I had such a blast. Is that like, would you say like influencer experiential trips? Is this something that is the norm to you? Is this a once in a while thing from like a business perspective? How often does stuff like that happen?
Oh my gosh. I mean, here's what's funny is that these experiences and these offers and invitations, when they first started coming in, like funneling in through like the emails and the DMs, I was so taken aback because it's so out of the norm of my regular lifestyle. Like, I'm just a mom who sells houses, right? And it was really, I was like, oh, this is a scam. Like, invitations, all expenses paid to Dubai, first class Emirates. What? Like, this is a scam, right? Like, those are the experiences and the offers that we get as, you know, being in the public eye or as influencers. And it's just almost jarring. And I think I've wrapped my head around it now, where nothing is impossible and nothing is kind of off table. So if I ever get an invitation that seems way too good to be true, I now remind myself, yeah, no, that's just your life now.
Yeah,
that's just where you're at.
Truly. But what's funny about the Dubai thing you said, though, is when I got that invite, we did a whole episode on Dubai and we did a recap on Dubai. And we actually met with the PR company and talked about the impressions that were made and understood the dollars and cents behind it all, because they spent so much money on everyone being there. But when I got that invite, I was 100% guaranteed for sure that was a fraud trip. Like, there's no way that invite, the way it came out. No way.
Were you there?
I was there.
What?
Yeah, I was there.
Know that.
Yeah, actually, hang on. Let's talk about this. I'll never forget, because you're in the weeds there. At that time, I had no drama in my life in any capacity. And I was on the roof of the Atlantis Royale, and I'm watching you and Tyler, who's been on the show, and you're looking at each other's phones and you're like, what the fuck? I could see you guys in pure panic. And I was like, I wonder what that's about. And I just let it go. And you know, months later, I learned that's because everyone was blowing you guys up for being on that trip. Were you there? Like, cause I got a plus one. So my brother came on the trip with me. Was he your plus one, or were you like invited individually?
This is a sensitive subject because my mom is here and she can, I don't want her to hear. I mean, this is a very, so my mother was originally supposed to be my plus one.
Your mom, I hate to say it, but it was the best trip ever. Yeah, I brought my brother. You should have brought your mom.
That trip, I can't even explain. That was like the quickest trip. That was probably the most, my emotional roller coaster on that trip, I think was one of the most crazy and hectic emotional roller coasters that I've ever been on. And I've been through I've led many lives. Okay. I've done marriage. I've been in divorce. I've had kids. I've been separated. I've had boyfriends dating while single. I've done it all. Working mom. That was a gnarly emotional roller coaster on so many different levels. Like the press and the media around like Tyler and Alex swift off to Dubai when he announces his divorce. I don't get stressed out about that kind of stuff. Like I'm in my own, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, or if it's a self-defense mechanism where I'm in my bubble and I'm like, I know the truth. Like, this is so stupid. But Tyler was a very, and at least since I know, like gotten to know Tyler, right? And obviously we got way closer, like filming the show, which is already kind of an anxiety-ridden bubble in and of itself, right? So my experience with him was always, you know, he had a lot of anxiety with how he was perceived in the public eye, right?
Sure.
Which is a very normal thing, right?
Of course.
So obviously with wisdom and learning and growth and in hindsight, looking back on that experience with him in mind in particular, there was definitely some weird coincidences, and a few people that are very, very close to me that aren't as naive as I am have pointed things out. And I'm like, no way, no. And they're like, yes, Alex, like, yes. Like the fact that like there's these conspiracy theories within the group chat, you know, like that he announced his divorce on the same day that we were literally leaving for Dubai.
It was, because I remember like when I saw him there, I was, and I the first thing I thought about was like, wait, I know this guy. How do I know this guy? And I know, obviously, I knew him as Brittany Snow's, of course, husband.
Yeah.
So then I think it must have been like that day.
It was literally not, Jason, not only that day, and I'm so naive, right?
Yeah.
And so I show up. So to answer your question, I brought a date. So I brought a plus one for one of the main reasons. Not Reem, my mom. Like my mom's ticket was booked. Like I added her in as my plus one. Like the concierge, everybody knew she had her ticket with her name on it. I had to then go in like less than a week before we left.
Yeah,
and change it all because I was like, I was like, I want to go with a date.
Yeah.
I want to go because I didn't know. So oddly enough, Tyler and I didn't even know that we were both going to Dubai until maybe 2 or 3 weeks before we left, and we were talking to production about our schedules. And I had put in an email or in the group chat, like, hey, I'm not going to be available for these dates because I'm going to be out of town. And then Tyler was like, wait, I'm also going to be out of town those dates. And so he texted me or called me. And he's like, what are you doing on those days? I was like, I know this is going to sound really crazy, but I got invited. He's like, holy shit, I'm going too.
Wow.
And so we found a lot of comfort in knowing that because then we were like, okay, we're not being sex trafficked or, you know, nothing weird is going to be going on. And it might sound weird because like, oh, we didn't know that each other were going, but it's a very delicate thing within like the group of people because you don't want to like boast or brag that we're getting certain things.
Yeah.
So it's not something we're just sharing in the group chat with like all of our friends from the show, like, hey, guess what I'm doing?
Of course.
So in that setting, neither of us were disclosing. And then we found out, short story long, that we were both going. We both found comfort in that. He was bringing his brother. I was going to bring my mom. Changed it. I brought a date, which is hilarious.
Wait, this is funny. So he was there with his brother, and you were actually there with another date.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And a date who is very, very, like, not in the media, but his family is very, very, very well known.
Can you share or no?
So,
don't make me go look through the photos. I was there. Alex.
In the fucking photo in the tab with it's like, Alex followed Tyler Stanley and Mystery Man. I'm like, the Mystery Man is my date, you idiot. Like, what? And yeah, it's kind of, it's almost, I don't want to not disclose it because I care about his, he's so young. And I was like, who can I take with me?
Wait a second. You, Alex Hall, the badass polarizing, I say it how it is, on Selling OC, is cares that you're the guy's younger than you?
Okay. He was like, one of my best friends is 50 and it's her daughter's son's age. So I was like, oh my God. But anyway.
Tell me this. I can't let this go. What was the age gap? What? 10 years?
Yeah.
12 years?
Yeah. Like at the time I was 32 or 33. He was, yeah.
Could 10 he
years.
Drink legally?
I feel older. He was 23 and I was 30.
Who gives a shit? Who cares?
He's a little baby.
You get it, girl. Don't worry about it.
So the trick, he ended up leaving me in Dubai. Like
what?
This whole thing, it was Jason. When I say this was the most insane trip of my life.
Wait, what do you mean? Why did he leave you?
He left me. So honestly,
I'll tell you where my head's going to go. My head's going to go. He left you because there was something romantic possible with you and Tyler.
No. So here's what happened. Tyler, when we got to Dubai, was literally like avoiding me like the plague.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even like, I would be walking on the boardwalk with him and Mike Roger, the guy I brought, and his brother. And he would literally like, put his arm out and be like, stay away. And I'm like, you're really hurting my feelings. Like, that's so rude. And he's like, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. It's just like, this is crazy. And, you know, I can't believe that this is, you know, what we're facing in the media. I'm like, okay, well, we're not doing anything wrong. Like, I know. It's almost the perfect storm, and I think I took it a little too lighthearted where I was almost like making a mockery of it. Like I posted a photo and I think Tyler's foot was in my photo and people dissected one of his like little tattoos and figured out that it was him. And I was like, why do you care so much? And I probably should have been a little bit more sensitive to that, but I was just like, we aren't doing anything wrong. So my date who was there ended up not realizing, I told him, I was like, oh, Tyler, a guy from my show is going to be here with his brother.
Yeah.
And we get to the airport. We're all chilling in the freaking like Emirates first class lounge.
Yeah, which was insane. But that was just, that whole thing was
nuts. I definitely didn't see. Maybe
we were on different flights. Ja Rule and Fat Joe were on my flight, the Emirates flight. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was not on Fat Joe's flight.
It was unreal. Okay.
Wow. So, God, that flight, honestly, I was like, let's just turn it back. Let's do the flight again.
But it was the best part. Well, other than Beyonce performing, it was the best part of the trip. And that's the best trip I've ever been on in my life. So to put that in perspective.
Beyonce concert was a little disappointing, but we don't have to get into that. She didn't dance.
All right. Listen.
She had a sprained ankle.
Yeah, but did you see the creative behind the performance she put on?
Yes.
And how just the symbolism of like every single, I'm pretty sure that every either dancer or every single person from her orchestra was either part of her core group or they were women from the Middle East. Like everything, the attention to detail in that piece of art was insane. It was insane.
You know what? You're so right. You're actually so, so, so right. Did you though, who was your plus one? You took your brother.
I took my brother. So my brother is, he's gay, married, and he's like the biggest Beyonce fan. So he was hesitant. He's not a Dubai guy. Cause technically it's like illegal to be gay. And that's why I mentioned it. He's like anti everything they do as far as their politics, but he's like, it's Beyonce. I have to go. And he said, this is him. And he's in Broadway. Like he does all the marketing for all the big Broadway shows. So he's in the showbiz. He said still to this day, the best performance he's ever seen live, like just everything A to Z. And how about like Jay-Z was right above us. Like he was 2 feet away.
The royal fan was right in front of me.
It was nuts. All right. We got to go back though, because we got to get clarity of this. Cause I know there are listeners that love watching you and they love to hear all your stuff, personal, professional, financial. We got to get into real estate stuff before we do though. So finish this story. I got to know what happened. We were both there.
So we show up, we're in the first class lounge, and Tyler and his brother also, what's a little weird timing. Tyler did like an interview in the front of LAX, like TMZ or somebody was there. And his brother was like, oh yeah, we just got like TMZ. Well, I'm like, they didn't come up to me. Like, that's weird. I didn't even see any cameras. Like, I've never been bombarded at the airport. And then the other, like in the group chat, someone was like, yeah, someone tipped them off that he was going to be there. I'm like, I don't understand. This is just crazy, weird, whatever. So anywho, my date, Roger, he's like, that's who's coming? And I'm like, yeah, Tyler and his brother. And he's like, oh my God, I thought it was the other guy. I'm like, what other guy? He's like, the one that's married. And he's like, and I was like, it was so, I kept thinking to myself, I thought it's so weird that he's not bringing his wife. And I said, Austin? And he goes, yeah, I thought Austin was the other person from your show coming with his brother. And I'm like, okay, well, no, it's Tyler. And he's like, isn't there some story or headline about you guys? And I said, yeah, but that's not true. And yada, yada, yada. So hindsight, looking back, I'm like, okay, he was already uncomfortable. My date was already uncomfortable just because he knew that there were rumors. So he ended up leaving
me. That's a wild move to be leaving Dubai on that kind of trip.
And I just wanted to have a good time. I wanted to be with somebody. And, you know, for me to not take my mom with me on a trip like that, that is a huge sacrifice. My mom is my best friend, is always a good time. It's, you know, it's very hard for somebody to come above her. Very, very rarely. So I was like, oh my God, like, is this going to be weird? And so we enjoy the vibe. His whole demeanor changed. It kind of ruined the vibe. And I was trying to have him interact with Tyler and his brother and get along. And they worried. Tyler was really trying to make my date feel comfortable. And it was just weird. The energy was weird. So my date ended up, we went to that rooftop party.
Yeah, there was
a rooftop party.
Yeah.
Her and I were there, all outside, beautiful cabanas, beautiful, you know, live music and a DJ and all the fun stuff. And, you know, once Tyler and I and his brother and my date get a few drinks in us, the vibe loosens up. We're all having fun. And I ended up falling into, so there's like jacuzzis. Almost every cabana has its own jacuzzi.
Yeah.
And so the jacuzzi had this like trough or drain. They all had drains. And I'm walking my 7-inch stilettos, intoxicated, trying to go find my friends. And my foot dumps into one of these drains. And I fall and I heat shit. Could you imagine looking back, the hotel was like,
who was at that party? Like one of the Kardashians was there. Who was it?
Probably Khloe.
No, it was the one that, I'm so bad with the Kardashians.
The tall skinny one.
Yeah, she owns the 818. She was there.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember on
Kendall.
Kendall. And on the area where the jacuzzis were, the Real Housewives of Dubai were all like dancing on those. So I know what you're saying. When you fall, how does the fall lead to him leaving?
Because I was so Fatih comes up to me and he's like, are you okay? I'm like, call Tyler. Where's Tyler? Like, Tyler at the end of the day was my friend. Yeah. I don't know this guy from Joe. He's 22 years old. I'm like, dude, So I call Tyler. I'm like, I just ate shit. Where are you guys? Come help me. I've got security all around me. And I think at that point he was just thinking, okay, something set him up. You know, when there's alcohol involved, people make really rash decisions. Yeah. And he says, I'm going back to the room. I'm going to change.
Okay.
Tyler, me, we met so many people, his brother, what's his name? Renan, the French guy in LA who makes the CrossFit videos.
Yeah.
And then hanging out with him and we're just partying. I'm like, where's AT? Go back to my room. He's like, oh, I meet him at the elevator. He comes out. He says, okay, I'm glad you came back out here. I don't know if I want to go back out. I said, okay, well, what do you want to do? I can walk you back to the room, whatever. This is a really long story. We go back to the room and our whole room and our whole floor, once we get out of the elevators, is taped off. There's tape and like painter's tape everywhere.
Hmm.
And he's like, what is going on with her? So we start both like panicking. We already feeling like we're in Dubai.
What's going on? Yeah.
My vape gets out his phone to film. And there's all his cheek for shakes in there, you know, very intimidating almost outfits, right? Like it's a duty. It's basically the royal family. We're not trying to do anything wrong. And that's our room. We're just trying to get in what's going on. He grabs the phone out of his hand, says, you can't film this, yada, yada, yada. And my date gets really, really, really spooked. So my date is, his name is Roger Penske III. He's part of the Penske family. They are very, very affluent. They're worth, I think, somewhere around $8 billion. And his dad he's lived a very sheltered life. And so in their minds, they're thinking, what the fuck is going on?
Sure.
He has no security with him on this trip.
Okay? Which he typically does, right? I assume.
Which I
assume he probably typically does because of his family's like worth and power.
He typically has his own security. He takes his own plane, you know, and this was, I mean, it was very startling to me and I had no idea what was going on. It was very startling to him. And he probably thought he was going to be like kidnapped or held ransom. Who knows? When you're in foreign countries, you just get spooked out, especially when you have a high net worth. And he's the baby, like a little 22-year-old kid, a little, you know, scared of cat, whatever. So he calls his dad and tells him what's going on. Next thing I know, his dad is booking him a flight out. So he takes all of his stuff out of the room. I'm like, are you seriously leaving me? You're leaving me in Dubai?
Running a business is hard work. Building your website shouldn't be. With Wix, you can express your ideas, give direction, then leave the heavy lifting to AI. From site creation to branded content and images. Have fun with the details. Customize what you want the way you want. And manage your whole business from a centralized dashboard with expert AI tools. Build, scale, and enjoy the incredible results. You can do it all yourself on Wix.
What's the difference between DIY and doing it yourself? It's the difference between a part-time passion and a full-time business. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker. With a website that fits your unique vision, let your ideas flow with AI that guides you, but keeps you in the driver's seat. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Go to Wix.com.
It's like, I'm so sorry, I have to go. No explanation, he raises out, grabs his passport, and I'm stuck there by myself. So that whole trip, I mean, was absolutely, so I've got my date who left me. Tyler doesn't want to be seen near within it. Like a 20 foot parameter of me. So I'm just this chick from Orange County alone, a billion miles away from everybody that I know. It's supposed to be the time of my life, the best time ever. And it ended up just being, I regretted not bringing my mom.
Yeah.
I'll also
defend you here because here's where I'm going to defend you big time. It was a weird trip in the fact that it was like the best trip ever, but I think it was the most random group of people of all time. I felt the same way about the Bachelor franchise. I'm like, how of all people in the franchise did they email me? Right. So it was me, Matt, James, Rachel, and then Cassie. It was just a really interesting, like, and then when I look around, there's like massive profiles and then and because of that, I noticed at least that there wasn't much there wasn't much networking, which is interesting. It was like people kind of stayed to their clique. So I do see what you're saying when you're like, especially being in the foreign country. The other thing too is like, they were ridiculous. Like I remember Beyonce was playing that night and it was like noon. I was walking around with my brother and I just took a picture of the stage and like three people sprinted over to me like, open your phone. I'm like, what do you mean open my phone? They're like, delete your phone. Like delete. They went through
that's what they did to us.
Yeah. So
they made him open it and show him that it was deleted.
Yeah. I see where what you're saying is accurate. I could see also why someone that's a little younger at that power getting a little spooked out. I think everyone was a little hesitant getting into that. So that all kind of checks. The only thing that's interesting. Like I think this connects to the Patron thing, and then we'll get into selling OC. Is at the Patron event, I was like, wait a second. So I had Tyler on the show. I was a fan of Tyler. I like Tyler. I think he was nice on the show. I wanted to hear about his real estate story. And then I had heard, you know, I'm a fan. I knew of Brittany, and I won't share anything like that she said, but it sounded like the perception was that I had interviewed someone who might not, you know, be the nicest guy in the world or might have a front of something that's not the reality. Again, I'm like, it's not my job to seek that truth. I'm just doing a business podcast. Here we are talking about all personal stuff. And well, pop culture meets finance. So it comes up. And then, you know, you and I were
we trading secrets? Jason?
Yeah, we're trading secrets here. We'll get into the business stuff. We're trading secrets. But then we got to Patron and I met you and I said, natural perception, just because of the whole Tyler thing, anything that was that like you had an affair with Tyler, and you're like, shut up, and I'm like, that's what I think, and you're like, you really believe that? Like, I consider you a smart guy and stuff. You believe that? I was like, I don't watch the show, but that's my perception of it. And then you're saying like, I got to get a statement out there. And then you made, like, not so far after there, you made a statement, and it's, I have the statement here, and we don't need to read the whole thing, but essentially you're saying, like, I want to clarify and set the record straight on allegations towards me. I've never been unfaithful in a relationship, nor have I ever been the counterpart to someone who's been unfaithful, et cetera, et cetera. And talking about, like, who you are as a person, and that, like, you feel like your character's been attacked. So I was, when I was with you in Dubai and then in Patron, and then you told me that, I'm like, Alex, you got to, like, share that story if that's your truth, because I don't know that that's out there. And you did. And I'm wondering, just, like, has that also, you know, does that have, like, professional ramifications too? Like, in the business world of you stepping up and saying it, are you happy? Do you regret that you made that statement? Tell me everything that you're feeling regarding it personally and professionally.
So, what's wild about this whole thing is, I mean, I've never had PR, like, I've never had anybody represent me. And so I've just kind of been flying blind, and in the weirdest way, it might sound crazy, but just staying in my lane, you know. And I think probably to your point, you touched on, are there any ramifications when it comes to business? And it hasn't. So for me, I'm thinking, okay, people understand that it's a show and these can get misconstrued, or there's a, you know, perception of reality, because it has never affected my business until Brittany went on that podcast and said whatever, you know, statement she alluded to. And I had people pull out of deals with me that I had lined up, not real estate. Okay. It's never affected my real estate, but collaborations I had, and it'll happen with one company.
Sure.
And to be fair, it was, you know, they would say, we still want to work with you. We just don't. We think in light of everything that's going on right now, because it was a public appearance, they were, you know, what they expressed was that they were concerned about me being public. And like, I'm like, what do you think? I'm going to get egged or something?
Yeah.
What's the fear? And so they said, we're just going to put it to a later date once the dust settles. But that really, really triggered me. Like, that hurt my heart. And I'm like, okay. I always have said, I will, you know, put myself on this platform and do the reality show thing, and I will give it my all, but I have to maintain being brandable and marketable, right? I have to be able to do business and provide for my family. So if something is in, you know, interacting on one of those things, then we've got a problem.
I agree with that. If someone is challenging either behind closed doors and privately, or publicly, your character, no matter what it is, and it's impacting your business, you have to protest for yourself if it's warranted, right? You have to.
100%. That was a hard kind of reality check for me, because, and what I told you and a couple of other people that we were, you know, talking, I was talking to on the Patron trip, Stagecoach, I've never been one to feel a need to defend my character.
Yeah.
You know, and because I keep a very small group, it's my family and my friends who are basically my family, and they know who I am and they know my intentions are always pure. You know, I might say some crazy stuff. I might be, you know, a little bit out there, but my intentions are always pure. I'm never trying to hurt anybody, and I never ever feel the need to defend my character. And so it's being in this spotlight, if you will, and being in a position where, okay, Alex, there does come a time, and I had a lot of these lessons I learned as I think about how I would go about it speaking to my children if they were in a situation, right? And so giving myself that same advice and that same grace and that same perspective, if you will. And so I thought to myself, there comes a time where you don't need to feel like you have to defend your character on a daily basis. But if you're threatened, you know, and there's a common misconception about you, and it's affecting, it starts to affect your life and your business and your values and who you are as a person, you have to speak up.
Yeah.
There comes a time you actually have to speak up for yourself. And at that point, and that was the point. That was the boundary. Speaking to you and, you know, Violetta and stuff, I was just floored at how many people perceived it a certain way.
Interesting. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And I think, I think there's good professional and personal advice just in what you went through and how you went through it. It's great to hear that you don't have any regrets with that either. But when we close this chapter in this conversation, the way I understand it, and tell me if I miss anything here, it's important, is that Tyler may have been unfaithful. That's something that does not at all connect to you, nor are you, of course, going to speak to that. But, and Brittany may have made claims that she knew that he was unfaithful, but you're not at all involved in any type of unfaithful behavior between you and Tyler when he was married. That's my understanding of the whole situation now. Is that correct?
You would be correct.
Exactly. Okay. There we go.
Yeah. Never any infidelity on my part attached to Tyler or anybody. And to be honest with you, Brittany could have been, maybe Brittany lives in her own little bubble just like I do. And maybe she wasn't alluding to me. That's just what the eye has took. I don't know. And I don't really want to, I hate to make assumption. It's just that I was at the short end of the stick on that whole thing.
Yeah.
And
you're just, you're clear. Yeah. You're saying like, listen, some shit might've happened, but it wasn't me. And you're clear in your name. And I think, and good for you for doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say on that before we transition to selling OC? Are you good with it?
I'm great.
I'm great.
It's your
with
podcast.
It. I'm great with it. I just wanted to make sure I gave the full stage. Patron, Dubai, both trips. One, we didn't know we were on with each other, but we still have memory of it. And then one, of course, Patron, which was like unbelievable. We all bonded. We had the best fucking time ever. And I think honestly, from one weekend, we'll have lifelong relationships, which is pretty cool. Now let's get into—
we're getting invited to a lot of the same stuff. I feel like if we ever now get an email or an invitation where we think it's weird, I'll be like, hey, Jason, did you also get this invitation?
Yeah. What the, isn't that interesting? Yeah. Like what the hell? It's fascinating. I like it. Maybe our brands connect. Okay. Let's find if they do. So obviously you're in real estate. You're on season three of Selling OC. This season three just debuted in May, 2024. Yeah. You started with Oppenheim Group in 2021, but you went on the show in 2022. Talk to me about what that looked like. Like, how did they approach you to be on the show? Were you hitting certain goals or units that they're like, you'd be a good fit? Was it personality? Tell me about what that process is from being a real estate agent to boom, now they're casting you for the show.
So there was no real in between. I've been selling real estate for over a decade, and I was with Sotheby's prior to Jason and Brett recruiting me to the Oppenheim Group. And I was in a really, really, really good place in my career. I actually had just been recruited within the company, which is not even allowed at Sotheby's. You can't recruit within unless you have the blessing, if you will, from the owner of the company or the managing broker partner. And they actually did. We had lost a really great agent who was on a team. So they recruited me within the company. And I was really excited because my career was, you know, flourishing. And I was at a great, great, great point. So Jason and Brett recruited me, and our production company, Dunn & Dunn, calls me up and says, hey, have you ever thought about doing a reality show? I'm like, click. And they called me like three or four times. They said, listen, I've been approached by other people in Orange County trying to do some like real estate reality show. I'm not interested. My career is in a really good place. I don't have any desire to be in the public eye. So they kept calling a few times. And the last call that they made to me was, before you hang up, have you ever heard of a show called Selling Sunset? And I said, yeah, I have, but I don't watch it. I don't really watch television. And I said, okay, have you ever heard of a show called Living on the Beach? And I'm like, well, duh. Like, I have a pulse and a heartbeat and I'm a girl. And they said, okay, well, those are our shows. And I was thinking to myself, okay, so you're like big time. And so, you know, my ears perked up and I...
Were you working for Oppenheim Group at this time or no?
No.
Okay.
So Jason was probing me to come over and I was thinking to myself, I'm so good where I am. My split was at a 90-10 at Sotheby's, which is like unheard of. Okay. And
what's a margin? Just while you're on that real quick, Trade Secrets Finance Money Talk, like what is a typical split at most groups?
I mean, I would say 70-30, you know, 80-20. 80-20 is really, 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 really good with a brand like Sotheby's. Okay, you can go to a Keller Williams or a Coldwell Banker and have a higher split, but you don't have that backing of that brand and that label. It's like a Target versus a Saks, right? So I was with Sotheby's, which is the best. Sorry, Oppenheim Group, but I used to say I bleed blue because I was such a diehard Sotheby's girl. And no matter where I went in the world, to tell somebody that I work with Sotheby's, they know who I, they know my brand. So anyways, I Fifty was posing me because he wanted to recruit me, but he also wanted me to be on the show. And so I basically, in the beginning, said, I'm not going to do it. I don't think the risk is worth the reward, and I'm really good. And my mother said to me, you better fucking do it. And I said, I don't really. And she goes, you're going to miss an opportunity and you need to do it. So took her advice, did the show 3 seasons later, and here we are. So, but I was really, really happy with it, real estate wise before I came to the Oppenheim Group.
Okay. So you're in a 90-10 split. You go to Oppenheim Group. Do they honor that 90-10 split or no?
Absolutely not. My split with Jason is gross.
60-40?
I don't want to misquote because it's the same all across the board. I think it's 70-30.
Okay, so 70-30, but you also do get income from the show. So that has to be a factor right. for you as well, right?
Yeah, but I mean, when you take an agent who has, you know, been producing in this field for many, many, many years, and we're selling multi-million dollar homes and having paychecks that are 6 figures, that's hard to beat when you go onto a reality show and you're making, you know, like minimum wage. Yeah. You know,
you said in a podcast, I think your quote was, we're paid a lot less than most people would probably imagine. The pay supposedly will increase with the longevity of the show. So you're in 3 seasons now, 24 total episodes. I'm going to take a stab. You're averaging about $5,000 an episode.
Honestly, Jason, I don't even know. It's not a lot. No, I'm not joking you. So I don't. So we get paid. It's not even per. If you break it down, you can, you know, figure out what it is per episode. But we don't get in the contract. It doesn't say, oh, you get paid X amount per episode.
It's a season.
Once we agree to do a season, we get paid every 2 weeks. It just gets deposited into our bank, and it's, you know, a nominal amount. And they broke it up. So I was assuming that the way that Netflix and production and all of the movie parts are involved. They say, hey, Netflix has agreed to give us 8 episodes and we're going to give you X amount per episode, but we're going to break it down between, you know, 6 months of filming, like 3 months of filming, and you get paid every 2 weeks. So there's not like a lump sum. And it's jolting when you're devoting so much time to something and being told what to do and being kind of bossed around and, hey, be here at this time and do this and wear this and, you know, talk about this. Where like I had a career, I was my own boss. I am my own boss. Nobody really tells me what to do. And I have time freedom and financial freedom. It's just a totally polar opposite career, if you will, for a lot less pay. But it eventually, I believe, I wouldn't continue to do it if I didn't believe that it will pay off. The juice will be worth the squeeze. You know,
yeah.
Obviously I want to use my platform for a lot of other things. I will always sell real estate. I don't think I will ever stop doing that because I love it so much. But obviously with this platform now, doing a lot of other things and taking advantage of the moment.
Okay, let me ask you this then. So yeah, this what there's I promise there's a reason for this question because I want to compare kind of the value add. But if you've done 24 episodes, 3 seasons, and if it is $5,000 an episode, that's around like $120,000 in total. Is that some, would you say that's probably somewhat, let's just say even like warm, or am I way off?
You're saying 120 for all
120
three seasons?
120 for all 3 seasons. Is there somewhat close? Like cold, way off, not even close? Like if you had to approximate?
I think less. Okay. I think less than that.
So let's say it's, if I use $90,000, do you think that's getting warmer?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably. That's, yeah, I would have to go back and like, yeah, I'm thankful. I don't have to. You know, if I want to swipe my card or take out money, I don't. I've got money. I'm not dissecting it. I just know that it's very like my attorney, and he's like, "Listen, I know this is crazy low, but we can renegotiate after you know X amount of seasons, and we can get you more." But even that, you know, they go to system in place, and you get paid what they offer. And if you don't want to do it,
you're out.
You're replaceable.
You're replaceable. You're out. Yeah, yeah. Like, you're replaceable.
So that's why I always laugh. I'm like, why do we even need an attorney? Some of our friends that are on the show don't even have attorneys because they're like, what's the point in paying somebody a commission for something that a contract that's basically non-negotiable.
Yeah, yeah. You can, if you try to like move too much on that contract, they'll just find the next person. But let me ask you. So let's just assume, let's assume 25 based on like kind of the, like you're saying, like, I'm not really sure, but it's immaterial. But let's just assume, let's say 75K. Okay. It's around for the sake, 75K, three seasons. You've deployed a lot of time, a lot of energy. Obviously, a lot of cost, right? You got to think about outfits you're wearing and stuff like that. And certainly time. Has the value, when you look at the business economics, do you think the value of being on the show has been significantly greater or less than when you think of, you know, what the opportunity cost of time and capital is based on what you're earning from the show?
So this is a conversation I have with myself, like on a weekly basis.
Okay.
Is it worth it?
Yeah.
And what I will tell you is, for me, it has been worth it, right? The opportunities that have presented themselves because of the show. I'm an experience girl, right? I am all about an experience. I don't care so much about, you know, obviously I like nice things. I like nice cars, handbags, but those aren't my priorities. You give me an experience. You give me stations with Patron, Dubai with the royal family and Beyonce. Those are things that never would have crossed my path or come across my table without the platform, without Netflix, without the Oppenheim Group, and without the reality show. So those are life-changing opportunities for me. And for me, okay, let's say I make $500,000 selling real estate, you know, in 6 months or whatever it might be. That's just me living my normal life, which is also fantastic. And I love, don't get me wrong, I'm a mom, I'm raising my kids. But this is such a unique opportunity that I'm so, so, so grateful for. And I want to take complete advantage of it. So it's not so much the financial. It was just the financial.
It wouldn't make sense.
I would say absolutely, yeah, it's not worth it.
No, never. I don't think financials would ever make sense. But I think what I agree with too is I think when you go on shows like this or The Bachelor, whatever it is, whenever you're getting this opportunity, it creates accessibility. So the accessibility of the people that will pick up your phone call or the meetings you can set or the places you can go with the people that you'll meet, I think like that's invaluable. So when you think about mom's,
the network's huge.
So when you think about mom's advice, like going back to that, this is like the full, let's put the bow on it. Mom telling you to do it, you being reluctant to, was mom right?
Mom's always right.
Mom's all, whether they're right or not, they're always right. Okay, I got last
Mom's
question.
Right.
One
I'm
more
not
question.
I'm not just saying that because she's sitting on my sofa over here either.
Yeah, okay, sure. All right.
Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. Whether you're installing a patio or adding a new retaining wall, we have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Plus, get free estimates fast using our landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get five Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
One more. No, I agree with you. Moms are always right. But the last thing I got on selling the OC is, do you feel, you already mentioned it, there are so many real estate agents out there in the luxury space that would die to be on this show. They would be scratching and clawing to take you out and take your spot. Do you at all feel pressure because of the supply demand game of this show that you got to bring it when filming, you got to create drama, you got to be polarizing? Do you feel that in incapacity?
Don't. I really don't. I think that, I mean, there are moments in filming where I'm a businesswoman, okay? So there are moments in filming where somebody will come up to me and try to start something, and my natural response is to just not say anything. I don't typically, I'm a lone wolf in business. I keep my pack really small in my private life. So this experience and having me with agents and having me in a drama-filled office is so outside of my norm. So typically I would just remove myself from a situation. If I did have these in real life, if I was having these experiences with agents or people prying into my personal life or trying to attach themselves to me just for screen time, I wouldn't be a part of that, right? So there are moments in filming when I think, okay, Alex, in this moment, you would normally just be quiet and not even give it life, but we are creating a reality show. So let your freak flag fly and say whatever the fuck it is you want to say, right? And taking advantage of it and not being so heavy on it. You know, it is what it is. It's a reality show and I want people to be entertained and that's it, you know? Yeah. And so thinking about it like that, and it's my job. And when I leave, I try to make it easy so that when I leave the show and filming, then I have my real life. Like that's my work. And it's sometimes it's hard to disassociate, but I try. And there are also moments where in filming when, you know, we want longevity. We want to have the good rating. And there's situations where we're exhausted, right? We've been filming back to back, maybe three scenes at different locations, a different outfit, different hair, different makeup, different topics. You literally get disoriented. And there have been times where we're filming and they're like, okay, well, let's try it over here. Or the lighting wasn't right. And I just say, what do you want me to say?
Yeah, exactly. What do you want me to say? Yeah, just give it to me.
What is it that you're looking for? Because they never want to, like, it's not scripted.
It's not scripted. It never is. Yeah.
It's not scripted, but
they have a vision. They have a vision.
Well, they define to that you. I view it as they have an idea of what they want it to look like.
Sure.
And if you're not doing it that way, they'll make you redo the scene until you kind of give them some form of what it is that they want. And so that's why. But what's the narrative here? What are we going for? Just tell me what you want. I'll tell you if I'm okay with doing that. Or if that's how I really feel, or that's how I think, because sometimes we're brain dead by the end of the day.
Exactly.
It's difficult.
Yeah. I actually remember being on The Bachelor too when we're doing pickups, right? So you're like picking up the interview so it makes sense to what's going to happen. There were times you'd be in that chair for a few hours and you just, everyone's doing their job. And I would say same thing, just like, all right, just tell me like, you know, what we need to do here so we could be done. And if I disagree with it, I'm not going to say it, but let's
100%.
Get into, yeah. So
I'm not
I get
like
that.
A puppet to that extent, but exactly. I'm like, what do you want me to say? And if it's somewhat aligned with how I am feeling or what I think, then I'll say it.
And you'll say it in your, and you'll say it in your own words with your own delivery. And honestly, I think what that does is that makes you easy to work with. And in this industry, if you're not easy to work with, catch yourself goodbye. You'll never get a call back. But let's get in. We got a few minutes here left. Got to talk about real estate, meat potatoes here. Yeah. So you're in luxury brokerage right now. Existing home sales fell 4.3% from February to March, and we're down 3.7% from March 2023 to 2024. Obviously, interest rates, economic supply and demand of what's available has a huge impact. Obviously, a lot of migration from states like California to states like actually Tennessee and states like Texas. So there's a whole lot happening in your industry right now. I wanted just your overall take on what you see with the market, where it's going and what's happening for, you know, my listeners who are just like, I don't know what's going on in the real estate market. Do I buy now? Do I wait? What do I do? What's your take?
Well, I think taking all of that into consideration, obviously there is a huge supply and demand issue that we've been, you know, battling for the last however many years, right? The supply and demand issue is nothing new, right? So that's something that I've tried to adapt to. However, interest rates, that's also a problem now. And we're also having to take into consideration that we have an election coming up. So there's a lot of moving parts. And what I'm finding now is that buyers, the question I get is, should I wait until after the election? What's going to happen? What's the crystal ball saying? And the truth of the matter is that I don't think it's going to get, there's not going to be some crazy, you know, spike or drop after the election. And I think that with a lot of people moving out of California right now with, you know, rightfully so, the biggest problem I see with people moving out, and I've had many clients that do that, it's hard to leave California in particular. And it's very, very easy to get out. And it's very, very, very difficult to get back into California unless you're at a certain caliber of wealth. But even when you are, once you get used to a different state, you get used to different taxes and, you know, what you're paying out, whether it's property tax or income tax, it's difficult to then come back come back here, whether it's mental or financial or physical. And so I think everybody right now is they want, you know, as pages, we're trying to guide and lead our clients and point them in the right direction. And all we can really do is give them the facts of what we know.
Yeah,
obviously, I'm, you know, the market is cyclical. Every 7 to 10 years, we see a pivot, right? And right now, it's difficult to tell because there are just so many contributing factors. It is an election year. And so if my clients are already reluctant and thinking, hey, if I buy now, it will be a mistake. And is something crazy going to happen? Am I going to regret it after the election? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think anything drastic is going to happen after the election. I think the more important thing is, you know, advising them, do you see yourself in California? Is that, you know, that's the only thing I think with the election is going to make a difference on. The interest rate, I try to remind people too, you know, we can't have high interest rate and high home prices, which is something that we had for a while now. And that's why the market has become stagnant, you know, and we are in a bubble. Where I live here in Orange County, we are in a bubble because it's such an affluent area. We've got a lot of cash buyers. And so to a certain degree, we are a little bit unaffected by that.
Sure.
But that's not everybody. That's not the entire, you know, the entire state or the entire county that we're in. And so I just think we got to ride the wave. We've got to ride the wave. You're ever moving forward in fear. It's not going to serve you. And so I'm just trying to give my clients the facts of where we're at right now. I know interest rates are high. I know home prices are also high. But guess who else knows this information? The homeowners and the agents. So negotiating is, I would say, probably my strongest. And if somebody wants a certain house and they think, hey, this is what I'm paying, my interest rate, this is what the price is, let's go in and negotiate and see what we can make happen.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's such a weird, weird space because like you said, there's so many moving contributing factors. You have boomers that won't leave their properties because of the value and how do they replace their current home with what they sell it for. You have mortgage applications down like over 10%, but then refinances are up like 20% in the last year. And I read something the other day that there's never been more homes that are mortgage free in the entire country than right now. So of course, people are sitting given like this weird space. And even in Nashville, you know, there are homes that are, most homes are like sitting on the market for like 100+ days. And I think that's a contributing factor to people still living in the like 2021, 2022 prices. So like things are still a little too elevated given the interest rates, like you said, but wild, wild space to be in right now. And there's so many moving parts. Let's do like a little rapid fire on real estate, just kind of like your overall take and a quick synopsis, because we have to wrap here soon. So let's just say quick take from Alex Hall on, let's say this new luxury tax, I think they call it the mansion tax in California. Quick take.
Well, first of all, it's not California, it's Los Angeles, and we don't have it here in Orange County. Another reason why Orange County is superior to Los Angeles County, and that's all I have to say about that. We don't
like
have that
it.
Tax
either. Doesn't
so
impact
bring it
you.
Down to the country, baby.
Okay, National Association of Realtors, the recent legal settlement. Let's get your take on that.
It's definitely didn't change me. It's just a rewording type of a situation. Buyers that have actual value in this industry will still get paid. A listing agent who realizes and is successful and knows that a buyer's agent also holds value and brings value will still continue to pay, and nothing changes. Okay. It doesn't change anything. All it's going to do is weed out the weak agents, which I think we're due for that.
So for when it comes to commission, you're not negotiating down. This is your rate. You're staying to it. Take it or leave it.
Oh no. I mean, I'll never lose a deal over commission. Like I will negotiate wherever I need to. But as far as then say we can't advertise that there's a buyer's agent commission in the MLS. That doesn't, people are all up in arms about it and it really doesn't change. You know, we've always been able to either offer a buyer's agent commission or not. Nothing is, that has changed. The only thing that has changed in the industry is our ability to market that in the MLS.
Correct.
That's it.
Correct.
Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get 5 Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 5/28. Molch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Okay. All right. Let's do a little rapid fire here. Biggest deal you've ever done. How much?
Oh, God. Oh, well, I've got a $68 million listing in Corona Del Mar right now.
Oh, my God. $68 million. What's your percentage on that?
We've got a 4.5% this day agreement signed for 3 years, and 2% goes to the buyer's agent, and 2.5% will go to the selling agent, which would be me. And if we double end it, we've agreed to 4% total commission.
Okay.
Which is phenomenal.
Let's go. That I'm sure will be the largest commission check that you've gotten, but that deal hasn't closed yet. To this day on, what's the largest commission check you got?
Oh. The amount of my check?
Yeah, financial transparency.
That's rude.
Wait a second. My whole second book is called Talk Money to Me. And the idea is through financial transparency, we can learn, we can educate. Someone could be listening to this right now. And by sharing numbers, you might be able to literally change their entire life because they can now pursue something that they never even thought they could or something like that. Give me a roundabout. So you can even give me six figures.
Okay. So here's the deal. There's a check that's written to the brokerage for a certain amount and then diluted and then my check, right? Okay. Which is a very sad math equation. But I will say the largest check that's been written to my name was six figures and had a three in front of it.
Okay, let's go. You're making us do our work, but we'll do our work. Hey, don't worry. Ryan Serhant's been on. We've had Tracy Tudor. We've had Josh Flagg, a bunch of them. Don't worry. They're ripping off numbers left and right. You're not
Were
alone
they?
Here. Oh, yeah. Oh, Tracy Tudor.
I'm not that tacky Tracy, in a way. I don't know.
It's you know what? This is the entire purpose of the podcast. We try and break that stigma because we were taught that it's tacky. It's just how it's delivered. It's the form of, is it toxic or is it healthy? Is it a way that we're communicating to like, and in relationships, that's what my book's about. It's about like we in love and money, we are so living in a gray area where we have no clarity on how we spend and what it means and what it, like how to navigate it that we just assume and the assumptions create resentment and all these other issues. So I think if communicated, the people that are bragging, oh, I make this, fuck off. Like that's doing nothing for us. But when we use it, in like an educational standpoint, it could be really productive, you know?
You're right. I will say that I had over a million dollar check written to my brokerage and it was a total listing. And I made the check that was written to my brokerage from my listing was over $1 million.
That's incredible. And so let's do a little learning lesson here. Someone listens to that and they say, they're going to go full speed in the luxury brokerage business. I'm going to do it. I can be Alex Hall. I can have a $1 million check someday written to my brokerage. How many years do you think it will take for them to get to that point?
Oh God. Within 24 months, you can be doing that.
Wow.
Easy.
That's amazing. Easy. I love that.
Number one thing, I will say the top three most important things in this industry is your confidence, okay? You have to, and knowledge gives you power if you're confident, but you have to be the most knowledgeable person in the room. I will say that your network, your relationships is so fucking important. Like if you don't have relationships in this industry, you have nothing. And if you don't have if you can't lean back, if you don't build yourself the right way, you won't make it in this industry. If you're doing things that you're shortcutting, if you're building, if you're burning bridges, if you're not respecting other agents, if you're not doing it right, you will not have longevity in this career. You have to maintain healthy relationships throughout and respect the other people who are involved in this industry. And the third thing I think, which is something that was huge for me, is fake it till you make it, right? Yeah. I walked into everyone with the most confidence that they knew I was the most knowledgeable. And I had the confidence, therefore, the person I was speaking to trying to earn their business had confidence in me. And my career is skyrocketing based off of my I don't like to say fake it till you make it anymore. I like to say believe in until you become it.
Ooh.
Because it's such an empowering mindset to have.
I love that line. That's one we're going to take. Okay, two more for you, and then we'll get your trading secret and wrap up here. Agent that you are the most impressed by. It cannot be yourself. It cannot be Jason Oppenheim or Brett Oppenheim. It's got to be someone else that you're just like, that person.
But someone from the show?
So it could be anyone. It could just be, who is the person that you think is the best agent you know out there and why?
Oh, out there.
Just like the, that you've come across, that like you're inspired by, that you're like, damn, they could even be on the show. You're just like, I respect and admire what they've done.
Okay. So I have to say, always it's going to be my broker who mentored me when, you know, 12 years ago, 11 or 12 years ago, I was at this very small, you know, Orange County brokerage, and he basically taught me everything I know. And he actually told me when I was at this brokerage, he said, he called me into his office one day and he said, Alex, what are you doing here? And I said, what do you mean? I'm so happy. I love it here. Like, are you kidding me? Every day I learn something new from you. And he was very direct, very straightforward, very, very, very good at mentoring. And he said, it's time for you to go. It's time for you to spread your wings. You need to be in like a Newport area. You've outgrown this box. I said, really? And he goes, yes. Like, you need to, he's like, within the next month, I want you out of here. And I was like, I'm so offended. But after, you know, thinking about it, it was the best advice he ever could have given me. And that's when I then went to Sotheby's.
That's amazing. I think you're surrounded by good people, mom and a mentor like that. Last question I got for you before we get your trading secret would be the biggest, like, do you have, you know, when you're working in a luxury market like this, I'm sure you've come across some pretty powerful people as we've talked about, but do you have like a fun celebrity story? Like you sold a house for some type of celebrity, or you're about to maybe do a deal with a celebrity, or maybe like your boy crush growing up, the poster was on your wall and now you're working on something with them. Anything like that, given the space that you operate in?
I think that it has completely come full circle with me just being on this show with a production company that produced Laguna Beach, because I grew up in a very small town in Central California, a little farm town. And when I tell you, me and my girlfriends in high school used to have like every Tuesday night or whatever night it was that this show Laguna Beach came on, we would get our popcorn, we would get in our pajamas, and we would all watch Laguna Beach. Like, this was, we aspired to just be, you know, these girls. And so this has come full circle for me. The fact that I'm on a show that did the hills and did Laguna Beach, it's wild to me. But I will say, as far as real estate goes, I don't know if it's such, I mean, I think the first thing that comes to mind, it's not a celebrity. It's not any of those types of encounters, but I was working for a person who was very, very, you know, affluent, very successful, and wanted to list their house. So I go over, is this huge property right on the shore of Laguna Beach, right by the beach where I grew up. And I'm like, okay, this is stunning. I've already done the comps. I already know, you know, I knew everything. And I walk in to this home and there are photos all over the walls. Like, I'm talking massive print with matted frames and probably thousands of dollars worth of photography throughout this house. And it's all nude photos of this man on the beach with a harness. And I was so taken aback. I literally walked in and I was like, got my pepper spray on my keychain, you know? And
he went, it wasn't the owner though, right?
It was the owner.
He had pictures of himself naked,
just like modest looking, kind of older, like maybe in his 50s gentleman on the beach. Some of the photos had women in them with him, but it was like the most stoic photos on this beach that I grew up on. I'm like, is that the background of my beach? And it's like all these rocks in the background. And it's him standing there, like with like full freaking erectness. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, like this is probably like somewhere between like a $13 and a $16 million listing. And that's what I'm thinking in my head. And the only thing I kept thinking was, if I take this listing, this guy has to take these photos down. Like, I cannot sell this home with these photos in here. And sure as shit, he ended up saying like, yeah, he ended up during the listing presentation, he said, don't worry, like I'm going to take the photos down. And I'm thinking to myself, couldn't you have taken them down before I got here? Like, I am scarred. I'm going to have to burn my eyeballs down.
What do you think was he trying to pick you up or something? Like, what?
No, but I know what industry he was in because I'm like, I researched the title at LLC. He's a porn director.
Oh, got it. Yeah. So you sold
I don't know.
Sold a $16 million property for a porn director. That's a classic. That's incredible.
Lot of the homes actually, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't, it's not a hobby of mine to watch porn, but I do know of homes that people have, and they're like, hey, we sometimes allow production companies in here to film content. It's like, what kind of content?
Wow. Oh my God.
So, like, this world of the higher up, one of the most fun things for me in this industry is finding out what these people do for careers, like at this level, you know, when they own, you know, 40, 50, $60 million homes and properties. I'm always asking the question, what is it that you do? I want to know the story. I want to know the backgrounds. And it's always different. We're the melting pot here in California. I just love it.
Interesting. One day you're going to be able to write a great book about all these experiences, the clients that you had, and the stories.
I've signed a lot of NDAs too.
That you haven't signed, there's going to be some good storytelling there. But Alex, it's been great. Thank you for diving into the financial aspect of your business. I love the vulnerability and the openness to the fact that in 24 months, someone can get up and running if they put in the right aptitude. I think there's so many people that come on the show and individuals that listen, look up to those people, and they try and create this mirage like it's impossible to do what they've done. Yeah. And I love that you broke that wall down and then also giving us a little insight on the real estate market. So it was cool to have you on. Could have talked for another hour. Next time I have you on, we're going to have to talk about love and money. I know you have had some hardships and you're a single mother with kids. And of course, I'm sure you have a take on that. But for now, we'll just get your trading secret in the first episode you've ever done here. What is one trading secret you could leave us with? So the idea behind this is, you know, someone or a student couldn't learn it from a professor. They couldn't go to a TikTok tutorial or YouTube. They could only learn it from you, given your experiences in your career, financial, and personal life. So one trading secret from Alex Hall, what could it be?
I think probably the most important thing to know when you're going into a business is, you know, I think people say like, oh, you can do anything you put your mind to, and you can, but I think focusing on the things that you're already good at and things that you really naturally enjoy doing is where you're going to have the most success naturally. So trusting yourself, trusting your instinct, trusting your intuition, and trusting what you're naturally adept at doing and what you enjoy. Anything that you naturally enjoy doing, you can build an empire from. I don't care if you're like, hey, I love sweeping my floor. You can build something, you know, beautiful and fantastic and lucrative around that. You just have to think really, really, really big. But I would never, my advice would be, don't force yourself into a career or something that you think somebody else has done and been successful at. Find your own niche and what you're passionate about and follow that and work your ass off to get to the top.
Love that trading secret. One of the reasons I love it so much is because whenever I do like branding or if someone tells me they're lost in their career, I literally tell them, have your notepad section out. And anytime for the next week, you naturally gravitate towards anything. I don't care if it's a show you're watching, it's a type of makeup, it's a shoe you're just scrolling on. Write down the brand, write down what you're naturally gravitated to, because behind those are multi-billion dollar companies. And behind those are an industry in which you can make a splash. Perfectly said. Love that trading secret. Alex, if people want more of you, they want Alex Hall, where can they find everything you got going on?
I'm really only on, I'm on Instagram, a little bit on TikTok. Instagram is Alex Hall OC. And obviously Netflix, where I bear some of them unbearable moments and some of them beautiful moments. So
there it is. I love it. Check her out on Netflix, The Sell Your OC, and of course your Instagram and everywhere you can find you on social media. And thank you for being on this episode, Trade Secrets.
Thank you so much for having me. So much time, Jason.
We are closing in the bell to the Alex Hall episode with the one, the only, the curious Canadian. We had some drama. We had some gossip. We had some real estate talk from personal, financial, and professional areas. David, I think we covered it literally all in this episode. We even got to see a little uncomfortable side of Alex when she got into the weeds with numbers. And then you started to see her comfort come around when she saw the actual intention. But the curious Canadian, David Arden, you're with us. What do you thinking? What are you seeing?
Well, Jay, I know we got Zachary Reality coming up on Thursday on More Than Money. He's usually the one spilling a little bit of the tea, a little bit of the gossip. You know, I was listening to that. I put my notepad down for a sec. I thought I was listening to Vial Files there with some of the heat that you guys were talking about. We don't usually get into personal life secrets, trading secrets. Usually we keep it professional on here, but I think it was entertaining. It's relevant. But yeah, it was just a little, the first, you know, third of that episode, Jay, a little different. How'd you feel in the chair asking some more personal questions other than business and career related questions?
This is what I love about the recap, because I get the curious Canadian who's also a friend who's listened to over 160 some episodes, and he could instantly just like spot dynamic shifts. You're right. I think my takeaway from this is majority of the time, David, when we have guests on, a lot of them, I don't know it all. Like, I know nothing about, right? Alex, I was just with her for a whole weekend, and there was some overlapping like drama that we talked about. And she released that statement publicly that went all over the news because of a conversation her and I had in the backyard of Patron, and we were on the Dubai trip. So I have found that when I work or I interview people that I have a friendship with, a relationship with, this tends to happen way more often. And I was thinking, I'm like, I got to pivot out of this. I got to get into real estate. Oh my God, we're 30 minutes in. Oh my God. But I didn't want to like get rid of what was a really impactful conversation that also really does connect to her business life. Her and Tyler worked together. It took away opportunities and deals. It had an impact on her character, her perceived character, which is really important to her. So it is interesting how this stuff does connect to, you know, your professional life, but a whole different spin. That's for sure.
Yeah. You took the words out of my mouth there. I was going to say how, despite you talking about more personal, maybe call it drama, it does always go back to people in this world. And she even said she needed to make sure that she was brandable and that she was marketable. And the reason why she made the statement was deals were finally getting taken away from her and the conversation that she had with you. So you go on the Dubai trip together. You both don't really know you're on the trip. Now you go to the F1 Patron trip together. Well, not together, but you were there obviously in the same, for the same reason, have the conversation, leads to the podcast. All this comes out. We had Tyler on the podcast, and that was a while ago. Was that when he was still married, or was he divorced by then?
He was divorced by then.
By then. And
because him and I talked about the Dubai trip when he was on the show. And so he was divorced by then. And I reached out to Brittany to have her on the podcast.
Yeah.
And that's when I had heard, Brittany responded. And that's when I had heard the response, of course, in the podcast. I don't, you know, that was a private DM. I'm not going to share the response, right? But that's when that conversation happened.
Yeah. Didn't you have a little crushy crush on Brittany Snow back in the day? just a little sprinkle a little fairy dust on there for our listeners. That was way back though. This was like,
comment.
Wasn't this? Yeah. It was like first got off the show, wasn't it?
All right. Well, when I first got off the show, I met Jenna Kramer at the iHeart Radio Festival, and she was friends with Brittany. And I was like, what's Brittany's deal? And she's like, oh, tough timing. She actually just got a boyfriend, which I believe was Tyler.
Look at it.
And then she showed, oh my God, she showed me a screenshot. I swear to God. It was Brittany being like, oh, I saw Jason on this show or something like this. Like, if only I wasn't in a relationship. And I am sure Brittany was being very kind by saying that. I'm sure she had no interest.
Yes, I'm sure she didn't, because you had the grease mullet at the time and, wearing
full banker look.
Yeah, full banker look. So in other lifetimes, but no, it was, you know what? You know me, I'm always on the TikTok. I'm following the Zachary Realities. I'm always looking for a little bit of a story, So it was a nice little taste of tea there for a bit. And in true Jason Tardik fashion, we got right into the real estate right away. And Let me tell you, this Alex Hall girl sounds like she's crushing it because, Jay, she doesn't even know how much she gets paid per episode of the show, which means you got to think that her business, her real estate business, is absolutely taking off and crushing it. So I thought, you know, getting into the real estate side of things, we've had a lot of people on from Oppenheim before. Each one of their stories a little differently. Each of them kind of go about their business a little differently. So I thought your transition to that was great and a lot of really, really relevant information.
Yeah, it was cool. We got the balance of real estate, got the story from her perspective, which was interesting. And onward we march. But David, when you heard either about the gossip or the real estate side, and this was a little bit of a longer episode. So, you know, I know my viewers that are still with us here, Money Mafia, we appreciate it, but I don't want to keep them too long. I know they got to get back to their days here. What are the questions? What are the curiosities driving? What did you think of Alex? Let's get right into the meat so we could close this one and let the Money Mafia have the rest of their week.
Well, I hope that they're listening to this on Memorial Day Monday. They got the day off of work. That's what we hope for you. So we hope you're not in a rush. But I do have two questions on the real estate side that, you know, for better or worse, kind of maybe affect the home buyer right now. One thing that she talked about was that a problem that the real estate market has is that supply and demand is really an issue, that supply is really low and demand is really high. Now, that might be common sense. I might be the idiot in the room here. But I always think, and I always see news articles about how our population is decreasing. And maybe I'm thinking about people our age not having kids yet. And so it's the generation that we're bringing into this world is decreasing. Maybe we still are the baby boomer generation. And so that is what we're looking, houses that we're looking for. You know, we're looking for houses at such a rate that no one has before. But is that true? Is there a supply and demand issue? Because, you know, the way that I just... It's hard for me to believe when I'm driving through every suburb in Rochester, every suburb in my hockey travels in North America, I just find it hard to believe that there's a supply and demand issue, but hey, who am I?
Yeah, so there actually is a supply and demand issue. So historically, US has actually failed to keep up with housing demands because of continually increased populations. Historically, we know that economists are saying now that the population is likely going to decrease because people are reproducing at a lower rate. Like, that's just simple. But the biggest thing is that the rising costs of material after and labor shortages from COVID have negatively impacted the housing inventory. So at a timeline where, you know, we would typically be building and building and building, everything was halted for like 6 months to a year. So there's labor shortages, there was supply chain issues actually getting material, there was an increase in material costs. And so homes weren't being bought or made at the same exact price. And so one of the big issues is, here's a statistic you should know about. Traditional wisdom, like in the whole real estate market, says that you need 5 to 6 months of housing supply to be balanced. Okay. So that is like you have 5 to 6 months ahead of inventory left in the United States, right? Right now, the existing home sales data shows that we only have 3.2 months of housing supply. That's as of March 2024. And so the lowest it's ever been is 1.6 months, right? So it's essentially saying if we continue to buy homes at the rate we're buying them, in 1.6 months, there's literally zero homes left. Right now, it's a 3.2 month runway. And so if you go into the metropolitan cities, the really big cities, that 3.2 month supply is decreased. So in cities like Nashville, Miami, all the big Chicago, right, all the big metropolitan cities, Austin, Denver, that supply is actually lower. And as a result of it, that's what's leading to this issue. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. I have two quick analogies that I always think of in my head, and I want you to see if you agree or disagree. You don't have to give a whole example or explanation because I know we're kind of running out of time. But number one thing that I always think about is, do you think that as houses get older in age and therefore get more outdated, our generation becomes more useless with trades and being able to do our own home improvements? Do you think that that is impacting the housing market, that all of our generation wants the same style of house? We want the house with the open concept and we want the white kitchen and we want, whereas, you know, the houses on the market may be more fixer uppers. Do you think that if it isn't affecting the housing market now, will affect the housing market?
Well, David, even if your synopsis is wrong, here's what's right, even if it is wrong, right? Because that's your intuition. You're saying your intuitive thought is this. We have an issue in this country with used stuff. So like baby boomers aren't leaving their homes. So when I say a used home, like a home that was older, there are no used homes available right now. There are no used cars available right now. So things that were used, people are not changing or buying or submitting from a macro perspective. So as a result of that, the consumer is, everything's got to be bought new. So I do think if you're wrong, the inherent behavior is going to change because you can't find used cars and you can't find homes that have been used because no one is moving given the inflation and the cost of everything.
And then my second thing that I always think about, and whether I'm just staring out the window, driving through the suburbs of Rochester, I see people like Elon Musk of the world talk about how population decrease is going to be the biggest threat to like our society as we know it and the world as we know it. I always think of driving through these suburb neighborhoods and I'm like, there's got to be a day where some of these houses just don't get filled, where the people that's been living in them for generations, they can't find a buyer. I picture suburbs in Rochester or all across the nation being overgrown with weeds and trees and they're just deserted suburb by suburb, cul-de-sac by cul-de-sac. Is there any threat of that? Or is that just a world where David needs to stop daydreaming and thinking that way?
Listen, there's a threat of everything right now, right? There's like international warfare is going on. There's a lot of conflict between the biggest powers in the world. When you look at the future of, you know, what population looks like in those biggest powers, that's changing, which can change the overall profile of power. I mean, you have like, even just like what's happening in Iran and, you know, the messy area around, you know, how they're connected to Hamas and their ability to be negotiating on the back end with Russia and China and have access to nuclear weapons. Like, you know, there is so many terrifying things that are happening internationally in which who knows if the world exists in 100 years, right? So there's so much speculation. Who knows? It could happen. Hopefully it doesn't happen. And yeah, let's just all say a prayer and put good energy out there that, you know, generations to come, we're all in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, it's an absolute loaded answer to a David Arduin hypothetical daydream question. So that's what the recaps are all
about.
That's
all we do here.
Before I got to say it, I just, you know, if you are thinking about going in this industry, which I don't know if any one of our listeners are, the fact that she said that you can be in this luxury real estate and be in it for only 24 months to make a $1 million check to her brokerage. I love some things that she said about having to be the most knowledgeable person in the room. Your network and your relationships is everything. Instead of saying fake it till you make it, she said fake it till you become it. And I just thought overall it was a really, really entertaining episode.
Exactly, David. It's perfectly said. Alex has been great. And I want everyone to know, like, you know, you see a reality TV side of Alex. I got to see the real Alex. We were there for 3 days all together, living under the same roof. She was lovely and kind and sweet. Got along so great with everybody. So I know she has this polarizing figure on Selling the OC, but I'll tell you, in person, 3 days, she was absolutely lovely and was so great with everybody. David, one thing you did ask me before as we were preparing for this is, you said, like, I don't get it. Like, does the election actually have an impact on the rates? Because, you know, Alex had kind of alluded to that. The election has a huge impact on the market, like it just in general, because all the stock market is all the existing information that we have with potential speculation of what's to come. And that's what the prices are today when you look at a stock. The problem with an election is that when we talk about what's to come, it creates massive gray area because you have two people from two way different parties with two way different beliefs that if one of those people gets elected, that will change the future outcome of monetary policy and other things. So gray area screws up the market. That's always a thing to know. Now, as we get more information about who's leading and who is more likely to win the election, the market will instantly bake it in. But when it comes to mortgage rates, the Fed actually doesn't set the mortgage rates, right? They have huge impacts on inflation rates and the price of U.S. treasuries, et cetera. But instead of that part, the Fed, really what they do is they set a federal funds rate, right? Which then allows in simple terms, the bank to understand how much they, what their cost of capital will be, and then they'll set the pricing for us. So the other thing that's really interesting is while the Fed does have, like, they operate in their own world, controlling like the financial monetary policy for the whole country, they don't act in a political vacuum. So there are seven members of the Board of Governors, and they are appointed by the president and then confirmed by the Senate. And their 14-year terms stagger such in the way that the next presidents will have the opportunity to at least bring in two new members, right? So if Donald Trump did win, he would have the chance to bring in two new members. And obviously the members he's going to bring in are going to agree to his monetary policy, which could impact the decisions that are made. The last thing I have on this is if you look at historical analysis on interest rates before November and then what they look like at the end of December for an election year, they actually don't change much. It's only a month or two time frame, but the election in 1972, interest rates changed 0.1%. 76, 0.2. You have 1980, 0.58%. 84, 0.46%. 88, 0.34%. 92, 0.1%. Let's fast forward to 2008, 0.8%. 2012 election, they changed 0.04%. 2016, 0.45%. And then 2020 changed 0.03%. So interestingly enough, since 1972, when Donald Trump was elected, that was the third greatest interest rate swing we saw in the month or two after his election, but that's still only 0.45%, and it went up. So that answers that a little bit. But David, we will wrap with the Alex Hall episode. She was great. This was informative. We hit the personal, financial, and professional areas of this conversation on Trading Secrets. We have Zachary Reality coming on for the More Than Money episode this Thursday. You got to tune into that. Make sure to give us 5 stars. And we are putting together that focus group of 50 people that are going to help us as we plan for the next steps of Trading Secrets. So if you want to be part of that group, just go give us 5 stars in Apple, put your email address or how we can contact you, and you will be part of the list. I have not marketed this focus group anywhere but the podcast, so spots are still open. David, anything before we wrap?
I mean, this is why Trading Secrets exists. If that's not pop culture at the start, meets finance at the end, good luck getting that history lesson in your textbook in high school. Good luck finding that out, that information out about interest rates in your business class in college. Just tune into the podcast. You get it all. One-stop shop, baby. Well done,
James. Where pop culture meets finance. Here we are on Trading Secrets for another episode. Hopefully, you couldn't afford to miss.
Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get 5 Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.